Is our guest on the John Riley Project, Yuri Bolin, a candidate for the mayor of Poway. Welcome.
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to be here, and I'm looking forward to this interview.
Oh, very good. So, you know, tell us, how's the campaign going? What are some of the issues you're identifying when you're speaking to people in Poway?
The campaign is going very well. I've spoken with hundreds of people so far. And they all seem to say the same thing. And you know, generally when you meet some people, you might get a little, a little defensive mode.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody has been in total agreement with everything that I have said, and they can't all be polite to not hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
My main platform is to preserve the city and the country. My slogan is, together we will make Poway the city and the country again. What inspired me to run is the Poway Road Corridor specific plan, long before I even knew its title. I was at the thrift shops like I've been doing for the last 27 years, and I'm not going to mention which church thrift shop it was.
Okay.
But there were two gentlemen that were talking, and I was looking at like memorabilia and stuff, and the one guy said to the other guy, "Oh man, this place is going to be gone by 2020. And the other guy's like, "Really?" And then they kept going back and forth. And they went in another section of the store, and I pretended like I was interested in something over there, and I just eavesdropped and learned. And then I did my homework and found out that by 2020, they were going to tear down the Carriage Center Mall, where all the thrift shops are, the small business owners, to build, depending on who you hear, I've heard as high as 1,500 units, but it's come down to 1,148 apparently, with a two-story parking garage, which is going to destroy the traffic on Poway Road. It's going to turn into Friars Road, and I don't think most people want that.
Friars Road, yeah, I think we all know what that's like, you know, lots of apartments and condominiums and a lot of traffic.
Yes.
So, I think who we were speaking with, it might have been, can't recall. It was one of my previous podcast conversations, and they were talking about how it was Tony Russo.
Yes,
yeah, and he's buddies with
Jeff from the Hair Zone.
At the Hair Zone, yeah.
I know Jeff as well.
Yeah, I met Jeff once a long, long time ago. He probably doesn't remember me, but Tony was saying how he's already gotten an eviction notice, and he's in that same strip mall with all the thrift stores.
Yes.
Wow.
I've spoken with Jeff, and everyone's rooting for me. I'm sure some of them are being kind, and some of them really are hoping that I can do something. And
right.
I'm going to do everything in my power to try to stop this.
To make Poway the city and the country again.
Yes, sir.
I like it. Yeah. We can't have a red hat. You have to have a green hat, I think, right?
Also, I'd like to point out that not just the thrift shops, but like small business owners as well. What's happening, and it's really sad, that the small business owners are being phased out for corporations. It's like if things happen the way they're on track to happen, we're going to look like every other city with a Starbucks every three blocks. Just, you know, the same fast food places that every city has, no more family-owned traditional businesses.
Right. So a lot of those same corporate logos, Buffalo Hot Wings and, did I say that right? No, it's not Buffalo Hot Wings. What's the name of that? It's like a sports bar.
Yeah, Wild Wings?
Yeah. I'm spacing out on that. But I know what you're talking about. It's all of those common, you know, businesses, restaurants that
that go from parent to son to grandson or granddaughter.
Right.
The generations are dying off.
Right. I understand. And I think a lot of people like living in Poway because it has such a unique character. You know, it's not like Friars Road. You know, it's not like Mira Mesa. You know, the city and the country feel, that kind of horse town, kind of not rural, but kind of relaxed suburbia, right?
Yes. You want the ease of coming into your home, your neighborhood, without the hustle and bustle of downtown San Diego.
Right. That makes sense. And so, you know, there's a lot of other businesses on Poway Road that are going to be affected.
Yes.
I mean, we were talking, you know, about the TV. There's a TV repair shop that's been there for like
yes.
ever. There's a great Mexican restaurant in the...
Rene's?
Well, I'm thinking of the one that's in the...
The barn. El Armando?
No, well, yeah, that's like
my favorite, by the way.
But that's like a taco shop, and that's really, really good.
Yes.
I'm talking about the Mexican restaurant that's in with the strip mall with all the thrift stores. What's the name of that one?
I believe it's Rene's, I believe.
Perhaps that's
next
the name.
To Bargain Hunters.
It's a really, really good Mexican restaurant. It's been there for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
That one will be sorely missed as well.
Yes.
So what would you like to do to Poway Road? I mean, would you just like to leave it the same?
Well,
or do you want to make some adjustments?
Well, I have a few ideas. First of all, as far as the Carriage Center Mall is concerned, I've heard some people say, oh, it looks like 1978. There's a thing called restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Coat of paint. There's upgrades that are necessary. Mm-hmm. That I'm not trying to revert to a time machine.
Sure.
But what I've heard is the owner who owned the property, I believe she might have passed away. I forget her last name. But from what I hear, the children are the ones that want to sell it to either the city or a developer. They just want the money, basically.
The cashing out.
Correct.
Right.
And I don't know if you can halt someone's ability to sell their property. I don't think so,
right.
legally. But perhaps we could find local investors that want to maintain and do upgrades, but keep the tradition of the thrift shops and small business owners alive.
Right. I understand that point. In some of these cases, it seems like the property owners mm-hmm. see the writing on the wall. Right, they see the plan and they see that wheels are in motion and they're starting to cash out. They're looking for ways to unload their property. Have there been any investors that have stepped forward that have expressed interest in buying in?
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, I think we almost kind of have to have a white knight maybe to come in and...
Perhaps someone's watching your show that has some income, flexible income, that would want to invest and maintain.
Right.
There's always hope.
Yes, it's interesting as you look at Poway Road, and I guess it depends on your perspective. You know, some people, believe it's dated. Other people believe that sort of eclectic nature.
It has personality.
Has personality, has some character, and what makes Poway unique.
Yes.
And makes it different, you know, than East Lake. Yeah. Down in Chula Vista.
I mean, we don't want everything to look like North County Fair Mall or Westfield Shopping Center or UTC. You can go any city and see that.
So when you're talking to people in Poway, are they coming forward with their concern about Poway Road, or do they know the detail?
A lot of people don't know what's going on. In fact, like the people that I've spoke to, some know me personally and mm-hmm. some I introduce myself.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that know me sometimes say, you're running for mayor? Are you kidding? And some of them know me from when I used to do stand-up comedy in Poway,
right.
no less.
Yeah.
But I'm like, no, I'm serious. And a lot of people don't know what's going on. And it's not the millennials that don't know. I'm talking about people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s that are unaware. And I've been enlightening them. And then they're like, oh, you've got my vote.
Nice. Well, it's good. I think it's important for a politician, especially running for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the top dog, right?
Yes.
Is to get out there and interact with people, connect personally,
mm-hmm.
listen, share with them the information that you know, and then see if there is a way that you feel you can better represent their needs.
Yes.
Right?
Because when I introduce myself and I say, what are your concerns? And some have said Poway Road Corridor, and some say Stone Ridge, some say the Senior Center, various topics.
Mm-hmm.
And then I give them my opinion, and they all agree with me.
Wow. Well, since we're along the Poway Road Corridor, let's talk mm-hmm. about the Senior Center.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on that project? I know they're talking about, well, not really talking.
Closing it down for 18 months, possibly.
Right. And then they're going to build a new, what they're going to call the Cafania Center, which is a new community center and senior center combined.
Yes. Well, I've seen both proposals, one that was 13 million something and one 11 point something. Mm-hmm. To me, that's wasteful spending on either project. You could fix up the center, rename it in his honor, and save millions of dollars that can be put into the general fund for fire protection, police protection, and maintaining the LMDs so there's no dead trees.
Mm. Interesting. Well, yes. Yeah, it's all a matter of priorities, right?
Yes. And I'll even use a quote from the late Mickey Cafania.
Okay.
I believe he said this to Bob Emery sometime in the early 90s.
One of the founding fathers
of Poway.
He said,
when do we stop destroying the reason why we live here?
Mm.
I might have misquoted a few words, but that's what I remember. When is enough enough that we realize what we're destroying is the reason why we live here?
Right.
I mean, it's like history repeating itself.
Right. Well, the founders of Poway, you know, Bob Emery, Bruce Tarzi, there's other names. They crafted the Poway General Plan specifically to retain the character of Poway.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to put boundaries, or they wanted to put barriers to prevent it from turning into, again,
downtown
Friars
Sandy.
Road.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so I get it. I understand that. It's interesting because the city council, you know, they have the their reserves, you know, and I'll give them credit. You know, they've been generally managing it with surpluses, and the reserves grow, and then they deploy those reserves on priorities. And then I guess the priorities are debatable, right?
Yes.
You know, where does that money go? The city council has always prioritized the Cafania Center very highly.
For over 10 years, I might add.
It's been on the list for a long time. And then when the economy went south, I know the project was off the table. Now it's back on, and there's been so many different revisions to the plan. And every day that goes by, the construction costs keep going up. I know that.
I mean, in my opinion, yeah. I think you can spruce up the current center.
Mm-hmm.
Restoration, and it's going to be a fraction of the cost, and still honor the man respectfully.
Well, you know, I'm on the Parks and Rec Committee, and so, you know, we meet like once a quarter. You know, we're just kind of we just listen and understand their plans, and they explain to us that the infrastructure in the existing community center or senior center was very faulty. There were the plumbing, the electrical, and they were always saying that even if we did spruce it up, that the maintenance costs were not trivial, that there would need to be a lot of serious work done to the facility.
It still would be less than 13 million or 11
yeah.
million.
Yeah, it would.
And like, for example, I saw that you were talking previously with other guests about the 2003 fire and the 2007 fire.
Yes, yes.
If the fire department has the resources, we can hopefully prevent that ever happening again.
I see. What kind of things do you think we could do to prevent those kinds of fires?
Well, first, I would have more firemen available, more fire trucks, more fire retardants. It's the old saying, like if you ever seen the old King Stallman bail bond commercial,
yeah.
It's better to know me and not need me than to need me and not know me.
Yeah.
So I would rather have a surplus that just sits in the truck, but if God forbid something terrible happens, they have all the resources needed.
Right. Yeah.
Same with police protection, hire more officers. I've heard stories about previous council meetings where on Carriage Road there's a certain or multiple houses that are like drug houses.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, have a policeman take his break on in front of their house. Have an empty police car parked there that's not in use. That'll deter people from coming in buying drugs.
If they
see a cop car there.
No doubt. You said, yeah, hiring more police. Do you think, how do you feel about the crime rate in Poway?
We don't have murders, thank God, at least not that I'm aware of, but crime has been going up if you read the blogs.
It seems like, yeah, the I don't know what you call it, but, you know, the bodily harm crimes are, you know, in decline, but it's a lot of the petty crimes that maybe are increasing,
yes,
right? Like the burglaries.
Burglaries, vandalism, stolen vehicles.
Right. Yeah, I see reports of that. In fact, here in my neighborhood, just down the street, there was one, because you go on the, you ever go on the Union Tribune's website and they show the map and they kind of plot all the points where there has been crime?
I've looked at reading the Chieftain more.
Okay.
And just looking at whether it's Poway, Rancho Bernardo, mm-hmm. Carmel Mountain. Poway seems to be increasing.
Right. Yeah, you definitely hear stories about it from time to time. And
matter of fact, where I work at Walgreens. Mm-hmm. About a week or so ago, I think it was like a Thursday night or Friday night at like 2, 3 in the morning, we were burglarized. Where they were trying to get into the pharmacy.
At Walgreens?
Yes.
Oh, I got to tell you this story. This is an incredible story. Is you know where the Sprouts is?
Yes.
On Pomerado Road?
Yes.
There's a pharmacy there.
Yes.
Right in the little strip center next to it. And my friend is a pharmacist and he works there.
Mm-hmm.
And this was about maybe 6 to 9 months ago. Someone literally blew a hole in the back wall of the pharmacy.
Hmm.
And then they were able to get into the storage area, and it was locked, but they ended up breaking the lock and went in, and they stole drugs.
Yeah.
And so they came back the next day, and they're like, oh, my gosh, you know? So
luckily, I don't believe they were able to get anything because there's a safe and a time release delay.
Right.
But they still stole, like, cigarettes and whatnot.
Wow. Wow.
And I've also... I've noticed an increased population with the homeless. I personally know two homeless gentlemen that are very nice, and they obviously have problems in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one of them today, as a matter of fact, coming here to see you.
Hmm.
And I have a message for Mayor Voss, if he's going to be watching. But there's a gentleman that says you owe him $40 because he was panhandling on Poway Road and Community. And apparently you must have seen him, and you called one of the officers, and they removed him and told him to go away. And he usually makes about $40 a day on a weekend, and that helps him buy food and other supplies.
Wow. How many homeless people do you think are living in Poway right now?
I don't know the exact numbers, but in the past, I would venture to say there was 5 or 6 that I would see almost every day, and now
right.
I see new people that I've never seen before. So I would venture to say it's in the 30-plus range.
Really? Wow.
And I've even seen some people that you wouldn't think are homeless, but I know for a fact that they are because I've seen where they sleep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Where, I mean, are they sleeping in cars or do they find
them? I've seen people sleep behind the 99-cent store near the PW Market where the...
Yeah, like the, Pomerado and Poway Road.
Yes.
Really? Wow, I didn't know that. Interesting. I know that there have been a number of homeless people that have been here in Poway for a long time.
Yes.
In fact,
there's one gentleman that everybody knows. Yeah, I believe his name is Charlie. He's the one with the shopping cart. I've seen him for over 20 years.
Right. And there's, I was going to say, people know these individuals by name. It's like, you know, their neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, you know, I see homeless people from time to time as I'm driving through town. Now you mention it. Yeah, there's probably been a little bit of an uptick for sure. But it's always been sort of a curiosity, you know, it's like, where do they live? Do they live here? Have they always lived in Poway and then suddenly found themselves in tough times? Or did they live somewhere else and then they came here because it was a...
And I have an answer for part of your question.
Sure.
There's a gentleman, I'll say his name. His name's Billy. I just recently met him a few weeks ago and I told him I'm running for mayor. And he's like, you know, happy for me.
Yeah.
Being polite at the very least. And I asked him a serious question. I go, I hope I don't offend you, but... If I'm running for mayor, and if I were to win, would you be interested in joining a program to try to help you rehabilitate whatever problems you might have and maybe get you on the right track to getting a job and getting a place to live permanently?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, God bless you. That's what all I want.
Really?
And he previously was in downtown San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I go, no, don't take offense, but why are you here in Poway? And he goes, well, they're nicer here, and I don't get beat up or robbed what little money I might have. And also the fact that you can always go to the soup kitchens, obviously, in downtown. Mm-hmm. But there's certain areas where I guess San Diego police are cleaning up the streets, so to speak.
Sure.
And they're trying to maybe beautify downtown San Diego. Because there was a time when you'd be going to Petco Park, for example. You'd park, a mile away from Petco Park to save a little bit of money. And you'd be harassed if you were smoking a cigarette every 30 seconds. Can I get a cigarette? Can I get a cigarette? Mm-hmm. And some people obviously didn't like that, and they're cleaning up downtown San Diego, mm-hmm. and a lot of them are coming here. Mm. Now I have a resolution for that. Mm. If I'm elected mayor of Poway, I'm going to get in contact with Bob McElroy from the Alpha Project to see if we can coordinate something here for Poway to help rehabilitate people, get them on the right track with jobs and a place to live. And if they have chemical dependency issues, mm-hmm. let's try to get them in a rehab facility to try to help people. Some people, unfortunately, their dinner's cooked, but some people had rough times.
Yeah.
And they want to get back on track.
Yeah.
And as a city leader, I would try to get in contact with Mr. McElroy and work something that we can coordinate.
Right on. Yeah. Bravo. When I started this podcast, my whole objective was to talk about big ideas. Mm-hmm. And I've always identified this issue of homelessness as one of these big issues that it's got a Poway component, but it's a much larger issue.
Yes.
San Diego, California, and even beyond. A lot of these individuals, various reasons, right, why they're in the circumstances mm-hmm. that they're in, a lot of them just, fell on hard times. Maybe they made a couple of mistakes, and suddenly they found themselves in a spiral and things went out of control. Mm-hmm. And then maybe because of that, because of the depression or whatever that kicked in, maybe they turned it to drugs or alcohol or whatever it is. And then it just became worse. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, in our economy, the unemployment rate is so low and businesses are really desperate for good people.
Yes and no. Hmm. For example, and I think this applies to just about any business. If you go to any store right now today, no matter what store it is, you'll see a cashier and maybe one person on the floor. And you're saying, excuse me, where is such and such on what aisle? And you can't find anybody working there. The reason is corporations are cutting people's hours to basically just the hardcore people that have been there forever, but they're not really hiring new people to have a full staff.
Well, that's, I've been in the Walgreens.
It's actually hard to find work, believe it or not, nowadays.
Really?
At least a good job sometimes.
Well, of course, the better jobs are always hard to find. But I've been in the Walgreens, that you work at, and actually then you mentioned it. It's not like there are people wandering around asking, can I help you? Can I help you? You have to hunt for someone, and you're lucky if you can, and they're usually busy doing something else.
And that's every job, every place you go nowadays.
That's true at the CVS,
CVS, yeah. There's been times where it's just the cashier.
Yeah, in a big, big store.
Yes.
I hear you. I hear you. But I still think that for some of the homeless folks, they just need help.
Yes.
They got themselves into a pickle, and they can't figure out a way to escape. They can't figure out a way to climb out.
Yeah.
Because they're just like living day to day, just kind of trying to survive. Mm-hmm. What are the right programs? And bringing in, you say the Alpha Project.
Yes.
And I assume that's like a nonprofit and.
Yes, it's been around for, I believe, over 20 years in downtown San Diego, especially.
Mm-hmm. So then they would be able to provide programs and things to get these folks on their feet.
Yes.
Very interesting. Wow. A lot to think about there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, for example, you go ahead and pick a topic that you'd like to ask me about.
Well, if you don't mind me shifting gears a little bit, just to have a little bit of fun for a moment, stand-up comedy. I mean, I did a search on your name, and I saw that you were hosting events at the Poway Fun Bowl.
Poway Bowl, yes.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that.
That was a fun experience. It was, I did it for about 2 years there at Jimmy's, mm-hmm. and also another bar that is behind the AMPM, but now it's called New York Joe's. But it, yeah. the one that I performed at was Foul Play Sports Bar.
Yeah, that's changed hands a number of times.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I would have various comedians all over San Diego and even some from L.A. come and do my show. And it was an open mic where some people were okay and some were really fine and polished. Mm-hmm. And I gave them artistic freedom to do their routine, whether it was blue material. I don't know if you're familiar with that term.
Mean, yeah.
Or if they were family clean. Mm-hmm. And people loved it. I had good crowds, and it was a fun experience, but it didn't pay the bill, so to speak.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can't survive
yeah.
on, you know, a hobby money, so to speak.
I understand.
Or as,
yeah.
you know, a lot of women say, my Nordstrom check.
Right.
So I have real jobs, too, and I've been working at Walgreens for the last 6.5 years.
See, that's awesome. I mean, I appreciate that on a lot of different levels, because stand-up comedians are, I mean, sure, you have a great time, you know, enjoying moments with them, but they're commentators on society, right?
Yes.
And they can be very cutting and very true,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, and a lot of times it's the truth of what they share is what makes us sometimes uncomfortably funny.
Yes. I've always said the best humor is unintentional.
Yes.
And just for the record, because I'm sure some people might think it was written yesterday in the Chieftain saying my name, retail salesperson, which I'm very proud of,
mm-hmm.
and then said comedian.
Mm.
I would prefer the term former comedian for the simple fact that I don't want people to think that this is a publicity stunt.
Yeah, totally.
Or I'm
100% understand.
Just trying to promote myself. I'm not,
no, you're not
all about that.
No, you're very serious.
I am a serious candidate.
Yeah. Right on. I fully understand where you're coming from. But I do, you know, I do enjoy the fact that people have creative outlets, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, a lot of times I always think to myself, you know, I've got my family, I've got my career, and it's always nice to have like a third leg to the bar stool, you
yes.
know, to have a creative outlet. And for me right now, it's this podcast,
yes.
you know, so
yes.
I can have a little fun with it. Yeah, good for you. Yeah.
And then another thing, it's a very easy transition from comedy to politics.
Oh, yeah.
We both like large crowds.
Right.
We both hope that they're paying attention, and
right.
sometimes we both make them laugh.
Okay.
But for different reasons.
So, again, I mean this in a good way,
mm-hmm.
but an entertainer potentially to replace another entertainer.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes, that's true. I've listened to some of Mayor Voss's music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little more rock and roll myself.
Okay.
But some of his children's songs were nice.
Yeah, that's his Buck Howdy
yes.
persona. Right on. So you're a rock and roll guy. What kind of music do you like?
I like old 70s, 80s music. Aerosmith, Whitesnake,
nice.
Motley Crue, Kiss,
nice.
Van Halen. Stuff that they don't play on the radio anymore,
no,
unfortunately.
Now you're talking my language
yes.
right now. That's all the good
stuff.
In fact,
years ago, I was in Las Vegas, and I met Vince Neil of Motley Crue.
Really?
And I was in awe, and I was with a friend of mine. This was in 1997, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, my God, that's Vince Neil. And my friend's like, oh, yeah. And I went up to him. I go, hello, Mr. Neil. And I'm a big fan. Can I get your autograph? And he's like, sure. And he grabs a Hard Rock Cafe napkin and
nice.
said, and then he buys me a drink, and we're doing shots.
Really?
And then what was funny, a lot of attractive women came, and he goes, it was nice meeting you, kid, but I got to go. And I was like, all right, take care. But he was really cool.
Awesome. I saw, I don't know, it was like 5-6 years ago, there was this kind of documentary, and it was kind of following him around. And then, you know, I think he was doing a solo act at the
mm-hmm.
time. He was an interesting guy.
Oh, yeah. He was
know?
Really nice. I've met various sports athletes and even some actors in
mm-hmm.
the past. And Vince Neil is a musician. And the ones that give you that 5 minutes of their time is a lifetime of good memories.
Oh, absolutely. And then you can't help but share it
yeah.
with other people. So it's, you know, good for him. Good
yeah.
for Vince.
Yeah.
Right on. So let's get back to Poway.
Sure.
Stone Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned a little bit about that.
Yes.
That's a hot topic. You know, we spoke with Brian Edmonston.
Yes.
He had a lot to say about Stone Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your thoughts?
Well, the current situation is abandonment, so something has to be done. Mm-hmm. My personal opinion is I would like to see it a public municipal golf course. Families could go on a weekend, play 18 holes of golf, and it'd be affordable. Not everybody can go to Disneyland or SeaWorld with their family, especially if they have large families. Mm-hmm. But they could go play golf, bond fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. I would be in favor of a municipal golf course.
Very interesting.
And also, I would like to add that you could not only have a partnership with, say, an owner, a partnership with the city. I would have vendors selling food, hot dogs, hamburgers, various places. Like, one thing that I miss is Randy Jones Barbecue. Mm. Remember on Oak Knoll Road?
Yeah.
It's been gone for a long time. I would have, like, him have a booth, have him come sign autographs, eat some barbecue, stuff like that, and other various local businesses, like Phil's Barbecue is another possibility.
Right.
There's many different ownerships of restaurants that are not the typical franchises that every city has, but are more local, that could come and have a booth, have concessions there. You could have merry-go-rounds for little children, a little, like, school park.
Wow.
There's many opportunities there. It doesn't have to just be strictly this or that.
Yeah.
Well, you could have something for every part of the family.
You know, if the city did take control of it, of course, then they could be able to call the shots. Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting as you go into some parks in different communities, and then they'll have, like, these small festivals.
Yes.
You know, and you'll see those 10 by 10 pop-up booths, and people are bringing a grill, and, you know, and it's like, you know, the equivalent of, like, a Phil's Barbecue or Randy Jones, and they bring their stuff, and then people show up, they're enjoying good food, they're enjoying time with the family in the park, there might be some entertainment, and, that's good stuff.
You could have local musicians play in concert. Mm-hmm. Many opportunities, and you'd have, like, a fair price for especially Poway residents.
Right.
I say anything like $4 or $5 for kids, $8-$9 for adults. Mm-hmm. Weekdays half price, and then you'd also bring in people from outside of Poway that would generate revenue as well.
Very interesting. The course already now needs a lot of work.
Yes.
Because it's been fallow, and even before, you know, they really flipped the switch and turned it off, they were kind of, you could tell it was being let go. Mm-hmm. So there would be some need to kind of get that back up to par, pardon the pun. But that's an interesting idea. I think what's happening now, though, is the owner still owns it.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Is Mr. McNamara the owner or Mr. Schlesinger?
Kamal, my understanding is that Schlesinger is the owner.
Okay.
And he's
and McNamara is the surrogate?
I guess that's a one way to say it. Again, I'm hoping that Kevin will join us here on one of these podcasts. But my understanding is that Kevin McNamara has a period of time to be able to put forward a plan and negotiate a plan for that particular land. Okay. And so he is acting somewhat as a representative of that property. I don't know the legal detail behind it. But in the end, though, Schlesinger still owns the property.
Because I've spoken with people that either live directly involved with Stone Ridge or close to it, and I've never heard a positive remark in regards to Mr. Schlesinger.
No, I have
heard positive remarks as far as Mr. McNamara.
Yeah.
So if nothing else, he's the face of the project, so to speak.
Of the newest rendition.
Yes.
Kevin is a longtime Poway resident. Kevin is very, very well connected, especially with politics and how cities work and how they approve property and approve major infrastructure projects. So I've always thought if there's a guy that can figure out a way to get this done, Kevin is potentially one of those guys. Mm-hmm. So the question is the plan that they'll be able to put forward, will it be something that the voters will approve because they have to vote to change the zoning law?
Yeah. Are you referring to the farm proposal?
Yeah, because there's development.
It has a better chance than last year's, but I'm not sure it would pass.
that's what I'm sure Kevin's probably trying to make sure that he has a plan that will pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's probably trying to get his ducks in a row as we speak.
I've spoken with a lady. I don't remember her name, and even if I did, I wouldn't say without her consent.
Mm-hmm.
But she lives directly where her backyard faces whatever hole it might be.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that she missed waking up in the morning, drinking her coffee, and watching golfers play golf.
Oh, I'm sure.
And now it's like an abandoned...
Yeah, it's like a field.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of those, I mean, every one of those people bought there specifically to be on a golf course.
Yes.
And for some people, that's sort of a lifetime goal, especially when they get to retirement,
yes,
is to live on a golf course. So I get it. I understand. But it's gonna, if they're gonna want to develop that land, mm-hmm, they're gonna have to vote to make a modification to the general plan. And this kind of goes back to, Bob Emery and what Poway was all about.
Yes.
And they created that rule. It was put Prop FF, I think,
yes,
to make it difficult to change the zoning law. So they wanted to preserve Poway's character. And now I guess it's become a double-edged sword, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're feeling a little bit of the pain of that.
I'm curious, and why doesn't Prop FF apply to Poway Road as well?
You know, when Brian Edmonston was here, we talked specifically about that. And I don't know the answer.
Mm.
But clearly, there are some parts of the Poway General Plan that require voters to approve to change.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other components of the General Plan that I assume that the City Council has a certain leeway and authority to make adjustments.
I think it's because if Prop FF applied to Poway Road, it would never pass.
Mm.
Never pass.
Mm.
So I don't know if some lawyer is watching right now who can find out any loopholes to see if Prop FF could apply to Poway Road.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I do know this, is that, you know, I moved to Poway in 1996. And from the day I moved here, there's been conversation about this transformation, this resurrection of Poway Road, mm-hmm, right? So maybe, I'm just guessing here, maybe the founders always knew that that was a project that was going to have to take place at some point, and maybe they left an opening in the zoning laws. That's just a guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hopefully someone can find out.
Yeah.
I guarantee that would not pass if the voters get their choice to vote.
Well, I think the voters, there's such a mixture of opinions, right? And it's a spectrum of how much development do you want?
Mm-hmm.
And people are all along that spectrum, and getting them to agree on any one thing would be difficult to get a majority.
True.
Yeah.
One thing that I'd like to bring up about development,
mm-hmm,
is why do we have so many unoccupied open spaces on Poway Road, no less? What used to be, I believe, U.S. Bank across the street from McDonald's,
mm-hmm,
it's been empty for years.
Yeah, it has.
That can be a business or even possibly some housing.
Yes.
Also, the restaurant on the hill behind Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
It's a bad location for any business.
Yeah, it's turned over so many times.
But why not housing? Why not veteran housing? It'd be a great, nice, secluded area for people to be in private. Businesses would not succeed there. I don't care what you're selling.
Right.
It's a horrible location.
Right.
But to live there, it'd be nice, reclusive. People would love it.
Yeah.
Also, the old karate studio / MMA studio next to Discount Tire has been empty now for over a year, I believe.
Right.
That could be a business. I mean, there's places for businesses to go. I just don't understand why they want to destroy existing businesses to put businesses.
Yeah, I don't know. But I do know, I know the bank you're talking about, mm-hmm, the one across from McDonald's. That's been abandoned for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a really long time. But I know that it's a private owner. And I know it's like someone I know knows the guy that's the owner. But I have no idea that they haven't done anything.
I have a theory on why, let's just say, owner Mr. Johnson doesn't want to rent or sell his property is because maybe he owns other businesses that aren't doing as well, and he uses the empty space as a tax write-off to supplement his businesses that might be doing well. And that's not right either, because you're making Poway into a ghost town.
Mm. Well, I'm sure that the owners of those properties, if they're not aggressively seeking tenants, then they must have some sort of a plan to explain why it's empty for so long.
Yeah.
Again, that's, I don't know the detail there.
Like if I'm fortunate enough to be elected, mm-hmm. I'm going to find out who owns what, and I'm going to contact all these individuals and say, why isn't this available to be bought, rented, whatever? Because I don't want people to use Poway as a tax write-off and make us look like a ghost town.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one wants that.
No.
Nobody wants that. Speaking about, you said, you know, if I'm elected, I'm pledged to do this.
Yes.
You shared with me kind of your, was it a
five-point pledge.
Five-point pledge. Let's talk about that.
Yes. Would you like me to directly read it or just speak on it?
Just speak to it. Sure. I don't think we need to read it.
Sure.
But give me, let's go through the points.
Point one, mm-hmm. that if I'm elected on November 6, 2018, at the beginning of my fourth year on January of 2022, but no later than the June 2022 primary, I will have a special ballot, my own sort of recall, if you wish, mm-hmm. that will ask the voters of Poway a simple question. Is Uri Boland doing a good job as mayor? If I receive 50% plus one vote or greater, I will seek a second term. If I do not receive 50% plus one vote, I will happily finish my four-year term and retire in November 2022. My second point is, if I'm fortunate enough to win a second term, irregardless of whether term limits become law or whether the proper paperwork is filed at City Hall, I will not seek nor will I accept a third term. My philosophy is 8 years is enough. Mm-hmm. After 8 years, you become more of a liability than a public servant. Mm-hmm. And point three, and this is the one that I think most people will be in favor of, no more appointments to the city council. If a city council member resigns for any reason, illness, promotion to a higher office, or God forbid passes away, we will be without one council member for up to but not exceeding 90 days, which will be sufficient time for a list of qualified candidates to be put on a special ballot to fill out the remaining term of such council member, either as an at-large citywide or district election, depending on the final outcome of Higginson versus the city of Poway.
Right.
I don't believe in appointments because whether it's true or not, perceived or reality, mm-hmm. there's conflict of interest, there's conspiracy. Let the people vote.
Right. I hear you. That's what democracy is all about, right?
Yes. And mm-hmm. point four, I will be available Monday through Thursday and alternating Fridays at City Hall from normal business hours to be able to answer any and all questions voters have for me. Whether they want to get to know me, say hi, or if they have a complaint, I will be there. No more 3 minutes twice a month on City Hall to talk about their grievances. I'll be there. And point five, we will have a city council meeting on the first and third Tuesday of every month, irregardless of whether there's anything on the agenda, whether or not there's a holiday the day before or the day of or the day after where they just want to have a four-day weekend, mm-hmm. we'll be there all the time under my watch.
Wow. Those are very firm pledges.
Yes. It's signed and notarized and will be filed at City Hall.
Right, and you gave me a copy.
Record. And so, you feel free to post it on your website or podcast, anything you like, sir.
Well, when I post the podcast, I write a summary
yes.
of what's in the podcast and it's for YouTube and all the podcast platforms. So I'll include that for yes. sure. I like your commitment to be in the office available.
Yes.
It's almost like you're saying, I'm going to be a customer service manager,
yes.
right? I'm going to listen to the people. And I'm going to understand their concerns, and then you're going to pledge to help them solve their problems.
Yes, as best I can. I mean, I won't be able to save everybody
yeah, you
or
don't
help everybody.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give any false pretenses, but I'm always going to give people consideration and listen to what they have to say.
Right.
I've spoken with several people that have either written letters or called or emailed Mayor Voss, and they got no response.
Really?
Yes.
So he is... You know, I've known him for a while, and he always seemed to be very responsive, and he prides himself on being very responsive to voters.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he ignores everybody, but uh-huh. maybe he ignores certain issues that maybe he doesn't agree with or isn't uh-huh. concerned with, perhaps. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't think the people that told me this were lying.
Oh, I'm sure they weren't. Yeah.
So.
Interesting. Let's go back to the topic of the appointment. And
yes.
I've always brought this up with all the other candidates. You know, we had a recent appointment. It was very controversial. A lot of people had strong opinions on either side. I was wondering if you can kind of share with me your thoughts on the whole process.
Yes. I didn't even know about it until after the fact because I, to be honest with you, I wasn't even interested in politics. Mm-hmm. In fact, this is going to come as a shock, but I didn't even think about running for public office until July 2nd of this year. Next week will be the 3 months that I've been committed to this.
Wow.
And the reason mm-hmm. is the old movie Network. I don't know if you remember that movie. It won Best Picture in 1976.
Yeah, yeah. I'm mad as hell and I'm
mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
yeah,
how yeah. I had it. I had an epiphany that day.
Wow.
And I've never had any inkling or desire for anything political. In fact, I haven't even voted since 2004 was the last time I voted. That's how disenfranchised I was with politics.
Wow.
But now there's a good candidate. That's right. Why I'm running. And that's so why I'm going to vote.
A moment of clarity.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And was it the appointment that really was the trigger?
That was part of it. But mm-hmm. for me, personally, on a personal level, it was the thrift shops, Carriage Center Mall. But then listening and finding out what happened with the appointment, it was bad. I mean, I'm sure Ms. Frank is a nice woman. I'm mm-hmm. sure she's qualified at her position. Mm-hmm. It's just how did she get the position is the problem.
Right. That's a fair point.
I've lived here 6 years in Poway, but I've been familiar for 27 years, Poway. Mm-hmm. I used to live in Carmel Mountain. So I'm not like a random person. She lived here for 3 months, 90 days. I still don't know everything about Poway, and I've lived here 6 years, and I've been pretty familiar for 27 years, but mm-hmm. I still don't know everything about Poway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how someone in 3 months can represent the people. I just don't see it.
Yeah, that's a valid point.
Yes.
I've met Miss Frank, and she's a very pleasant person.
Oh, I'm sure
yeah,
she
and
is.
No one really objects to her personally.
No.
But it is the process, and it is the history, the 3 months as a Poweegian.
And when you talk about history, let's talk about legacy. Her mother used to be the mayor of Encinitas, mm-hmm. Christy Guerin, I believe, or something like that, Guerin.
Yeah, I guess, yes.
She's on Sandag with the water, I believe.
I think so, yes.
Mayor Voss is on Sandag. Mm-hmm. I believe he's second or third in command, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, a lot of people have tried to connect those dots.
Oh, it's pretty easy to connect.
Right.
I scratch your back, you scratch my back. another thing I'd like to bring up is there's speculation that, let's say Mayor Voss wins, mm-hmm. he might only be mayor for 2 years because I believe he's going to try to either be District 2 or District 3 for San Diego. Which would be either Kristen Gaspar, if she is promoted to a higher level, and then certainly Ms. Diane Jacob is retiring because of term limits. So he has two options, District 2 or District 3, to run and possibly go up to the major league, so to speak. Whereas then there will be 2 years left where he can appoint a mayor to fill out the final 2 years. Could be Kaylin Frank. Could be Barry Leonard, two previous appointments mm-hmm. that he's made. Mm-hmm. Or he mm-hmm. could do the logical choice and take Deputy Mayor Mullen. At that time, he'll be 10 years in office as far as a city council member. Mm-hmm. And then there's Mr. Grosch, who will always be under consideration because he's agreeable. Mm-hmm. He gets along with people.
Interesting. Well, you know.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, please.
If I'm elected, I'll be your mayor for at least 4 years and hopefully eight, but no more than eight. Mm-hmm. And I will consider Poway the major leagues. This will be the highest office of the land for me if I'm elected. I have no desire to do anything in San Diego. It's Poway mayor or nothing. I'm not looking to enhance my political career. Mm-hmm. This is all I want. This is all I care about. The people of Poway. I will be the voice of the people of Poway. I will be the caretaker to the city for the voters.
Right on.
I will listen to everyone, Republican, Democrat, Independent. They will be treated equally and without prejudice.
Right on. Good for you. That's a firm pledge. I think you rarely hear a political candidate be so bold the way you just were.
Yes. And I think the reason is I am like 90% of Poway. I'm a regular person. I'm a real person. I punch in a time clock like everybody else, and that's what is missing in city government.
Interesting. Well, let's just say, you know, that you have, you know, the proverbial magic wand, and you can just transform the city. I mean, we've already touched on the Poway Road development. We've touched on Stone Ridge. What other changes would you like to see in the city?
I would like to see something done about veterans housing. When we see an active service member, we shake their hands, we thank them for their service, we even give them a discount on the 1st and the 15th, but it's when they come back home as a retired veteran or they did 4 years or 30 years, we tend to forget about them. And sure, some are doing fine, they have good careers, they're okay, but some of them are struggling. I know a gentleman, I'm not going to mention his name, but he's in financial hardship where he might lose his home. He might be forced to leave not only Poway, but California to try to make it with his family. Why doesn't he have an option to live in an affordable apartment for him and his family?
Mm-hmm.
The veteran housing has come up in the past, but it's always shot down. It's always, oh, we don't need this or that. And I know why. There's no money with the developers
right.
with that.
I'm sure that's a huge part of it. Because in order to make it affordable housing, you know, the developers are going to have to, you know, minimize the scope of the project.
Yes.
And then there's going to be dependency on subsidies from some government, whether it's, you know, state, local, whatever. And then it depends also on having a partner. And I think that's why, you know, Habitat for Humanity was potentially a partner
and
on the last project.
They pulled out.
Yeah, and then the whole financial model, you know, was disrupted. But that's a tough nut. I mean, I think everyone in their hearts would like to see veteran housing. It's just a question of how do you structure a deal to make it work?
Yes. I think maybe some people might have to swallow their pride and maybe not make as much money in the process, but do the right thing.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a tough one. I know Jim Cunningham was so passionate. I mean, he fought like hell.
Yes.
You know, I'll give him credit. He stuck to his guns.
Now, forgive me for asking, and I don't know if you know the answer to this. Why did he resign? Because I've heard different stories.
Well, I'm no expert on this. If I recall, he resigned because he had commitments with his, you know, his day job, essentially.
The law firm.
He's a lawyer.
Okay. That's what I've heard as well. I just wanted to, because I've heard other issues and that it may be innuendo and rumors.
Yeah.
But what you just said is what I've heard.
Right. And that's the official story.
And he obviously will do better financially in his practice than 15,000 a year as a council member.
But he was always a practicing attorney, even as a councilman. And he was able to balance that, you know, which I'm sure wasn't easy. And I think he was driving up to Riverside County quite often. But I've always
he opened up a can of worms with his resignation, obviously.
Well, yeah, clearly. I wonder, it'd be fun to ask him how he feels about how it all unfolded and if he would.
Could he have waited 5 months?
Yeah, maybe he could have changed. Yeah, if he had to do it all over again, what would he do? We should get him here on the podcast. But I've always suspected that the frustration with the veterans housing might have contributed to him stepping down.
Perhaps, yeah.
Just my hunch.
Yes.
I've never heard that officially or even through rumors. Yeah. I just always wondered. Jim is a good guy.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I've never met the man personally because I honestly didn't care about city council before.
Yeah.
But everyone I've spoken to said they wish he was still active.
Yeah, he's always very likable. I think in the last election, it was an at-large election, he won handily for re-election and then Barry Leonard came in second. But he's always been a likable guy. He's very connected. I'm a member of the Kiwanis group in Poway. Not very active with the group right now, but Jim has been an active member in the group. Mm-hmm. And so he's very well-liked. He's very well-connected. He does a lot of the – it's not just fighting for the veterans' housing. He does a lot of other initiatives to help veterans.
Yeah.
And I know as an attorney, he represents I think it's police and firefighters.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that whole community that he feels very connected to.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a very well-liked guy. So I wish him well. I hope he's doing well. But it would be interesting to ask him.
Could you have waited 5 months?
Yeah. The timing of it, I don't know what the motivation of that was, you know. So, yeah, interesting.
Yeah,
he's a good guy. So what else?
Let's see. Well, let me check something here. Let's see. Oh, yes. The general fund, water, sewer, trash, etc.
Yeah.
I think there's a issue with taking monies from X fund to pay for X fund. Whereas the old saying, robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Right.
I know there's a big issue, obviously, with the water and the general fund especially.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what your opinion is on that, but on mine would be simply if it's for the water, pay it out of the water. If it's for the sewer and trash, pay it out of the sewer and trash. If it's for LMDs, pay it out of LMDs. Don't kind of play Monopoly with different funds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard discussion of this. I mean, there's been an interesting conversation thread in South Poway Votes about this on Facebook. I don't know the detail, but I do agree with you that, you know, it's like the gas tax, right? Mm-hmm. Is when you pay the gas tax, you assume that's going to go to roads, that it's not going to go into the general fund and get mixed around and then pay for things that are not roads.
Yes.
So ideally, you would assume that those are separate and discrete buckets, right? But I have heard discussion that, you know, the money can move back and forth. I mean, in the end, though, they're able to turn a surplus, which is good news.
Yes.
But is that the result of moving the money? I don't know.
Yeah, but like the old saying, what goes around comes around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, you might know this better than I, but I've heard about something that happened from previous council administration, so to speak, about the Poway Unified School District with the 30-year loan.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's separate from the city. That's the $1 billion bond.
Yeah.
Well, that's a colossal cluster, that whole situation. Mm-hmm. They have borrowed $105 million for upgrades of schools in the two-thirds of the western part of the district.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to be paying back almost $1 billion to pay that back, like a 10-to-1 ratio. And those payments don't start until 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the payments are going to start in the early 2030s. And then they're going to continue for 20 years. But during the time when the money became available in the 20-teens that were used for the upgrades, for the next 20 years, it was like no interest, no principal on that loan. But then, you know, of course, that accrues.
Yes.
And so then the obligation for the second 20-year span is significant.
Mm-hmm.
And they that loan was done where it couldn't be recalled. In other words, it couldn't be refinanced.
Mm-hmm.
And so the school district is essentially stuck. They're trying to find ways to redo that deal, but it's going to take something extraordinarily creative to wiggle their way out.
And then that leads me to what Mr. Mullen had said previous. I don't know if it was the Democratic Forum, because I watched the video. I didn't attend.
Mm.
Where he said we need to generate revenue. And I'm thinking maybe that's related, where they want to build up some revenue to eventually pay that loan in the future.
No, the city and the school district are separate and distinct.
Okay.
So the money will not go between the two.
Okay.
So the $1 billion bond is a burden for the school district.
Okay. I just wanted to get clarification.
Councilman Mullen actually is going to be doing a podcast with us. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. And I do know that, and he said this in the forum, you know, he likes to think of running government like a business.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always probably thinking in terms of revenue and expenses and making sure he has a balanced budget.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone has commented that the expenses in Poway are growing at a faster rate than revenue is growing. So at some point, those lines are going to intersect and then there's going to be trouble.
But there's a difference between overspending and fiscal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the current administration is spending money that they don't really have on things that we don't need to impress people that we don't like. That's my opinion.
Who are the people we don't like?
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Okay.
People know who they don't like.
Okay, fair enough. I know. I hear you. You know,
I'll bring up a point.
Yeah,
here,
sure.
I know that you know Mayor Voss personally, and I'm not sure if you're close friends with him. And
not close friends, but I know him.
But mm-hmm. I find it extremely ironic that a man who looks the part of Bronco Billy, right. but yet has the heart and soul of Gordon Gekko.
Oh, wow.
He's Mr. Wall Street. He's selling off our lands. The cowboy hat is nice, but you're not living the part. Mm. The city in the country. Mm-hmm. You might as well be wearing a three-piece suit and walking out on Wall Street. He's like a day trader selling.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my opinion.
I hear you. Well, that's consistent with your slogan to make Poway the city and the country
yes.
again. Right.
I'll even buy a hat.
Right. That's good. I like that. This is all part of the larger conversation about why do people live in Poway?
Yeah.
What motivates them to move here and live here?
That's why I came in 2012. I wanted to mm-hmm. get away from hustle and bustle of mm-hmm. traffic, and mm-hmm. I wanted peace and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, that's what we have, but we're going to lose it.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, there's no question that whatever they do on Poway Road, it's going to add a lot more congestion. There's going to be a lot more people. There's going to be more businesses.
And not mm-hmm. to mention the seniors that volunteer mm-hmm. at the thrift shops. This keeps a lot of these people alive. It gives them motivation to get up, mm-hmm. leave their home, mm-hmm. interact with people. There's multiple facets of the thrift shops. It's not just, I like to buy old stuff.
Right.
People go there because they can't always afford to go to a new store.
Mm-hmm.
It's affordable, it's clean, it's nice.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's certain things you can't find anywhere but a thrift store.
Well,
they don't make certain things anymore.
Well, yeah, that's the beauty of it. Sometimes you'll find treasure in those places.
Yes. Mm-hmm. People, you know, donate things they don't need anymore. The thrift shops take them, they sell them. People buy things that they like. The money that's used there is to help needy families mm-hmm. with food, clothing, shelter.
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple facets of the thrift shops. It's not just a used store.
Right. Well, there
benefits hundreds of people.
Well, they provide jobs for
yes.
people that are probably people that, you know, really need a job.
Yes.
You know, for whatever reason. And they're a fundraising source for the churches.
Yes.
They're a place, I mean, for people to kind of unload stuff that they no longer use or want to keep.
You know what's ironic? If the Poway Road Corridor plan did not exist,
mm-hmm.
they were keeping it the same, I wouldn't be running. I wouldn't even know who the mayor was. I wouldn't even care.
Mm-hmm.
I got motivated because this affected me on a personal level,
mm-hmm.
and I know it affects a lot of people way more than me that have been here even years more than I.
Mm-hmm.
This is a generational thing.
Mm.
I want someone in 20 years to say, oh, I found this at the thrift shop. And they'll be talking about a Blu-ray or something.
Right.
You know, yeah. I want that pattern of family commitment mm-hmm. and generational mm-hmm. memories to continue.
I understand. I get that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about family for a
yes.
moment. Take us back. Like, where did you grow up? And have you been in San Diego most of your life? Or?
Yes. I was born in Coronado.
Okay.
I wish I was still there.
It's a nice place.
Yeah. My parents' old house is probably $1 million now, but in 1976, it was, I think, $40,000 or something.
Wow.
So, but anyways, I lived in University City by UTC
mm-hmm.
and Carmel Mountain and now Poway. So I've been in San Diego my whole life, pretty
right.
much.
Good for you. So did you like go to high school in Coronado?
No, elementary school in Coronado, mm-hmm. High school in University City, UC High.
Yeah, the Centurions,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been to that baseball field before. Mm-hmm. So yeah, right on. Okay. Yeah.
Class of 1990.
1990.
So, I'm 46, everybody.
Okay. When you say 1990, everyone's doing the math.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, how old is he? So, okay, right. That's great. Mm-hmm. So a native San Diego.
Yes.
You're rare.
Yes.
I'm not a native San Diegan. A lot of people aren't, you know.
But everybody comes here for a reason.
Well, clearly.
Yes.
Because it's great living, mm-hmm. right? And people come to Poway for a reason.
Yes.
Because it's good living,
mm-hmm.
good schools.
Yes. In fact, like I don't have any young children or anything, but if I did, I would want them to go to the Poway Unified School District because I've never heard anything bad.
Right. Well, they have their challenges, but generally speaking—
Usually internal.
Yeah.
But
generally speaking, it's a very good school district.
Yes.
They do good work, and a lot of the people in our schools do fantastic work for children. So, yeah, a great place to raise a family.
Yes. In fact, I haven't been as familiar as I should with the races for the Poway School District, but I've heard good things about a lady by the name of Kim Garnier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard good positive things about her.
Yeah, she, again, that's another person I've spoken to, and I'm hopeful that she's going to do a podcast with us, but— Yeah, there are three candidates that are running to represent, generally speaking, what Poway will be in Area B. And it's Kim Garnier and Ginger Couvrette and then Kevin Juza are the three candidates. So, that'll be a fascinating race to see how it goes. Kim Garnier has a lot of history with Poway Unified. She was a student here, and she's been an activist in the community.
Yes, several of the people that are going to be voting for me are voting for her because they've mentioned her, and I've like, oh, yeah, I've heard the name.
All right, but have you met her?
I haven't met her personally.
Okay, she's a very nice person. Yeah. So, you should get to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I intend to in November.
Okay, all right. when you win,
yes.
Right? Okay. Good. What else? What else would you like to share?
Just fire away with any questions.
How about parks? Tell me about your thoughts on parks.
Yes, parks. I'm glad you brought that up. Earlier in the month, Kaylin Frank had discussed about the Metate parcel to be a park.
Yeah.
That was a last-ditch effort to try to do something for a developer who overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
My philosophy on every, I don't know if you count three parcels of Metate. I don't know exactly how many are technically. Mm-hmm. Well, whether it's one, two, three, or four parcels of Metate, I would leave it all alone.
Mm-hmm.
It should be for hikers. It should be for scenic views of looking at the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget about wildlife. Leave the coyotes be, the raccoons, the rabbits, and any other creatures. Don't exterminate them by putting a condo there.
Right, right. Well, I know the folks in South Poway feel very passionately about that.
I do too. I'm from South Poway as well. In fact, I live basically next door to City Hall. So it'll
really?
Be a real easy commute for me.
Just a 5-minute stroll, right?
Yes, yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. I mean, it makes it a lot easier for you to be there as the customer service manager, like Monday through Thursday.
And alternating Fridays.
Yeah. So, Metate, that was an interesting topic. And, I know that the owner bought that land and I think was hoping that they could, build on it. And then they ran into some roadblocks. And it's kind of similar to the Stone Ridge situation.
Yes. Although Stone Ridge is more famous because it was a high-end country club at the time.
Right. Yeah, I understand. What about the rest of the parks in Poway?
Well, there's technically, if you go on the City Hall website, 22 parks. However, some I wouldn't classify as parks in the term general parks.
Mm-hmm.
Athletic fields more.
Yeah.
But if you want to be technical, it's about 18 to 20 that you would classify as parks.
Mm-hmm.
I believe some of them need upgrade and upkeep and cleaning of restrooms and other amenities.
Mm-hmm.
But in general terms, if you spruce them up, we have enough parks.
Okay.
And whether you bring 3,000 new residents with the Poway Road Corridor or not, I don't think we need 10 more parks.
Right.
And another thing, if let's say, God forbid, everything goes as the powers that be want, and we have 3,000 new residents, we're certainly not going to have 3,000 new jobs for those people. And let's just assume 2,000 of them are adult parents, husband, wives, single people, whatever. It's not going to be 2,000 jobs opening up on Poway. They're all going to be working in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So how's that going to stimulate the economy here?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think people are hopeful that they're going to be, spending their, money on groceries and restaurants and other amenities in town. But
everybody's got to buy groceries. So
Stater
Brothers, Albertson, Bonds, Walmart, they'll be okay. Not that they're not okay already, but there's not going to be a real impact where the economy is just live and kicking. No matter how many people come in here, there's not enough jobs.
Right. Well, I mean, to a large degree, with the exception of the business park, Poway is kind of a bedroom community, right? A lot of people that work, that live here, work elsewhere.
Most.
Yeah. If So, yeah, that's a fair point. Absolutely. I mean, and they're all going to be commuting to work. And so that and, interchange onto the freeway is going to back up a bit.
It's already bad enough. It's going to be really bad. Parking, of course, would be a major issue because it's not enough parking. And then we don't need underground parking like the outpost. I want to talk about the outpost too. I don't think that's going to be a lot of bike riding either, you know, for the commuting. It's not going to be the tour to Poway.
Well, there is a tour to Poway. You know that.
Yes, but I'm talking in logistic terms.
Yeah, it's not going to be, you don't think it's going to be a biking community?
No.
Yeah.
No, I see a lot of bikers in all seriousness, but it's not going to be a new trend.
Right.
It's the people that have been doing this for years and will continue to do this for years. But it's not going to be like the new invention. Oh, let's go ride our bikes. It's not going to happen.
So what about the outpost? What are your thoughts on that project?
Oh, God, I miss the old irrigation place. Call me sentimental.
Yeah, that place was like a little house underneath a big tree, if I remember.
Yes. I wish I had gone there more. I only bought, I think, some irrigation stuff maybe 3 or 4 times in the last 27 years. Maybe that's why they're not there anymore. I didn't go enough. But the building itself, I'm not going to lie, it looked like 1963.
Yeah, it did.
But that was quaint. That was character. That was pretty.
Part of its charm, right?
Yes. Yeah. Now, I don't know who the owner was personally. Maybe they were old, retired, passed away. I'm not sure. Or maybe they got a good offer and they took the money and ran. I'm not sure. But I would have liked it to have stayed there. But granted, I understand progress is inevitable and development is necessary. But there's a difference between development and overdevelopment. Now, sure, they could have put something modern there, which they're obviously going to do. But a 3-story outpost with expensive studios, a Crunch Fitness Center, which I'm sure the initial year pass will be free. And then they'll really get the bill.
Right.
And then like food court, winery type stuff like that. I think that's called the Gas Lamp Quarter.
Right. Well, I think that some people are going for that. You know,
well,
I think,
obviously some are, but in majority terms, we don't want that. I know across the street, the Irish pub doesn't want that. If they're going to serve alcohol across the street from them, that's going to hurt established business.
Nobody wants competition.
No.
Sure. No. I hear you there.
So, but like if we wanted a 3-story outpost, wouldn't we go to downtown? We don't want it in our backyard.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
And then underground parking, that, God, I hope, God, for knock on wood, we don't have the big one day because there'll be a lot of dead people. I hope if it, I mean, that one's obviously already a done deal. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It is. Yeah. I mean, so they're digging right now.
Yeah, there's nothing that can be stopped, which is fine. Yeah. I didn't run for mayor yet then. I hope whoever's in charge of the construction/architecture has all the codes up to date because, God forbid, if a big earthquake comes, there's going to be a tragedy with a lot of dead people because underground parking, I don't know the foundation. I'm not an architect or anything, but I'm not sure if that foundation is solid enough for something like that.
Yeah. Do you know Pete Neild? He's running for city council.
Him. Yeah.
And he had commented on that because he was saying that parts of Poway are built like on sand and the materials, it can be a little, you know, shifty. I'm going to make an assumption that, you know, they went through all of those environmental impact and they've done their studies and, you know, the code requirements for building in the state of California are just so, you know.
I hope so.
Yeah, they're very rigorous. So I'm making an assumption that the plan is solid and safe and sound and let's just hope that's the case.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. But yeah, if we ever have the big one.
If we really have the big one, there's going to be some beachfront property in Nevada. And then it's nobody's fault. But in if it's moderate quakes and God forbid something serious happens, people might want to go back to the original plan and see if somebody didn't dot their I or cross their T.
Yeah, well, I'm sure. I mean, in that awful situation, if that did occur, everyone would go back and double check things because everyone will be trying to, you know, blame someone else. Let me ask you this. What do you do when you're not running for political office? What are the, some of your hobbies? What do you enjoy doing?
Well, I like to relax and, you know, go out to dinner with my wife. She would always say that I was like an eBay junkie. But now I don't even look at eBay anymore.
Are you a buyer or a seller?
I was a buyer. Okay. I collect memorabilia like yourself. In fact, I have some bobbleheads myself. I have a 1961, at the time it was, now there's of course the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yeah.
But I have the original bobblehead from 1961, the LA Angels.
So that was their inaugural year,
yes.
Right? They were an expansion franchise that year, and the Astros were not that year.
They were 62.
Yeah, and I think the Mets.
They were the Colt 45s originally.
The Astros and the Mets came together, didn't they?
62.
So who came up with the Angels? Because they must have done was it the Twins?
They were relocated, I believe. Oh, that was the expansion.
Senators?
The Senators relocated to Minnesota. Because there's been technically like three Senator teams, and they became the Orioles, one became the Rangers.
And then one became the Twins, I think.
Yeah.
So interesting. So you're an old time baseball guy.
Oh yeah, I'm a big fan of sports and memorabilia. In fact, every now and then I run into somebody at Walgreens that's an ex player and stuff, and they're not like household names, and I'm like, oh, that's so and so.
Yeah.
Like who? And I'm like, oh, he used to play for this. Like the last player that I met was Jamie Moyer. I don't know if you remember
him. Oh, yeah, the lefty.
The lefty. He played for like 25 years.
Yeah, he pitched into his mid to late 40s.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, when I saw him, I was all excited because like I can't worship or idolize somebody that's younger than me. If I don't have your baseball card, I'm sorry. You don't mean anything to me.
Does he live in town?
I believe so, yes.
Really? I didn't know that.
First time I'd seen him, too. And he was really nice. I go, you were one of my favorite players. And he goes, really? And I go, yeah, you won 269 games. And he's like, oh, okay. He's for real. Like years ago, I used to work in Carmel Mountain, and I worked at Petco in Carmel Mountain years ago. And I saw David Justice of the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, oh, you're one of my favorite players. And he's like, oh, yeah. I go, yeah, you hit 305 career home runs. And his eyes got all big. And he's like, he was really nice because then I quoted his stats. So he knew I was telling the truth.
But he lives in Poway.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a good guy. Yeah. I met him a few times. Yeah. Terrific.
Yeah. And Bruce Bochy, future Hall of Fame manager.
Yeah.
He comes into Walgreens during off season more.
Nice.
He's really a nice guy. And I'm a Giants fan as well.
Okay.
So, and he managed the two favorite teams of mine.
Those are my two favorite teams too, because I grew up in the Bay Area and the Giants were my boyhood team, childhood team. And then I moved to San Diego and I've adopted the Padres as my number one, but the Giants are still number two for me.
Yeah.
So yeah, Bruce Bochy's home is actually not too far from here.
Oh yeah.
But then I had heard that, you know, he had moved to San Francisco permanently and that the home, I think his son Brett was using it. But then when Brian Edmondson was here, he was telling me that Brett Bochy now lives in Del Sur.
Oh.
So I'm not sure who lives in their house here. But here's a great story about Poway and famous people. Have you ever been to, you know where Target is?
Yes.
Then a couple of doors from Target, there's that Cold Stone Creamery.
Oh, yeah.
And then right near there is a Postal Annex.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Postal Annex, I have a P.O. box. That's for my business. I get my business mail there. And I've gotten to know the gentleman that owns the company, his name is Dennis.
Uh-huh.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
So if you ever get a chance to go in there and talk to him, he's the biggest Dodger fan in the world.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that they have set up there is a place to have like passport photos taken.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I guess one day, you know, a few years back, Matt Kemp rolled in. And he was like a kid in a candy store, you know. He's like, oh my God, it's Matt Kemp. You know, and he was really excited about it. So he tells me that story like at least once every 6 to 7 months.
My boss at Walgreens is a big Dodger fan.
Mm-hmm.
And we always talk about baseball. And unfortunately, this year the Giants kind of faded. But
yeah.
Next year.
The Dodgers are in trouble. I think they're a game out with three left to go.
Yeah.
this could end up really interesting, and mm-hmm. we might have a lot of ties, not just for the National League West, but with some wild cards.
Yeah.
And then get this, if there is a tie in the National League West, it'd be the Dodgers and the Rockies that would play a game 163.
Yeah.
And guess who's back on the Rockies now? Matt Halliday.
Yeah.
Matt Halliday, who never touched home plate. Remember that game?
Oh, yeah.
That was, what, 2007?
Yes.
Not that I'm bitter or anything, but good. So
yeah, it was ironic how it happened as well with, even before when the Padres played the one-game playoff to get...
Yeah, that's the game.
Yeah.
It was game 163. Yeah. It was a tiebreaker to get in. And I remember we had the lead, and Hoffman came in.
And to Tony Gwynn Jr., was it? Or no, that was the other game that he...
Yeah.
That he messed up, and it was ironic.
Yeah, it was. I remember that particular moment, too. But yeah, we had the lead, and we brought in Trevor, and it just didn't work out. Yeah. And then we ended up losing in extra innings. And to this day, Matt Halliday has never touched home plate. So take me back to how were you a Giants fan if you grew up in San Diego?
I've always liked the Giants back in the day in the 80s. I actually met a former manager, Roger Craig, at Petco in Carmel Mountain years
ago.
Hum
baby.
Yeah. I had seen him, and I'm like, I know this guy. Where do I know this guy from?
Yeah.
I'm like, excuse me, sir. I'm sorry to bother you, but you look very familiar to me. Where do I know you, sir? He goes, do you like baseball, son?
Yes.
And I'm like, yes, I do. And then it clicked. And he was so nice. I talked with him for like 20 minutes.
Really?
He was a wonderful man. He's still alive, and I wish him well, and I hope he's in good health.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a true gentleman of not only baseball, but in general.
Well, he was the manager of the Giants there in the mid to late 80s.
Yes, I'm still a little disappointed about 1989 myself.
Oh, yeah, it was the Earthquake World Series.
Yeah.
Oh, that was unbelievable. And then even in 87, you know, they made the playoffs and then they lost to the
Cardinals.
Cardinals in 87.
Jeffrey Leonard was MVP in that series.
Yeah, the arm flap, as he ran the bases. That was right around that time that Kevin Mitchell made that barehanded catch in the left field corner against St. Louis. That's awesome that you're a baseball fan and a Giants fan too.
And a Padre fan. So
and a Padre.
I don't want to lose any votes.
I hear you. I mean, this is right around that 87 to 89 when I began to cross over from being Giants number one, Padres two, to the other way around.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the minute I became a Padre fan, they struggle and the Giants became good and they were in the World Series in 89. And so, that's something else. Yeah, Roger Craig, I remember, he used to be a pitching coach and he kind of taught a lot of people the split finger fastball.
Mm-hmm.
That was his thing. That's great that you met him.
Yeah. And then another gentleman that comes into Petco. Actually, there's three guys that come in, three former Padres that come into Walgreens regularly that I talk to. Heath Bell, Xavier Nady, and then Brett Tomko.
Yeah. Well, Brett Tomko is a longtime Poway guy.
They're all great guys. They've always talked to baseball with me and shoot the breeze.
Yeah. Heath Bell, I know, has a son that I think is I don't know if he's an eighth grader or he's an incoming freshman at Poway High.
Ah.
And so he's around. And then
I think he's going to make the team.
Yeah, I think he will. Yeah, I'm sure he's got skills, you know. And who was the other person you had mentioned?
Xavier Nady.
Yeah, Xavier Nady. That's another guy that goes and meets my friend Dennis at the Postal Annex.
Yeah.
He's talked about that a lot as well. Yeah, there's just a lot of great baseball
guys
here.
Shoot the breeze with him when he comes in. And we talk about baseball and other things.
Yeah, ex-Nady.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, he was with the Yankees and the Padres, and he was a hitting coach for the Lake Elsinore Storm for a while. Yeah, that's something. You know, it's funny. I used to always joke that, remember back in the day, or maybe they still do it, they had the Hollywood map of the stars, Someone could do that in Poway.
That's true.
You know, I mean, there's just so many famous athletes and other famous people that live here in town.
Yeah, matter of fact, I had met Tony Gwynn multiple times over the years, and I had seen him before he had passed away. He would come into Walgreens. And even in his illness, he was still Mr. Padre. He was the,
what a guy. There he is right there.
Yes.
That's the Russian dolls.
Yeah, it's I know like what you're
the nested dolls. It was one of the giveaways at Petco.
Even before his passing, he had taken a couple minutes to Shoot the Breeze.
Nice.
He was...
It was just like Vince Neil.
Yeah. But it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Tony Gwynn was obviously a Hall of Fame baseball player, but more importantly, he was a Hall of Fame human being.
Right. But he took the time.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. I mean, Vince Neil, obviously very different. But,
yeah.
But he took the time to connect with you personally. Yeah. He didn't just blow you off, you know? So, yeah,
and,
good man.
I was the only thing that I admire Steve Voss for is the statue.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I have no complaints about because it was well-deserving.
It was well-deserving, and he did it all through donations, too, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was nice to celebrate a Poway legend, you know, a quality family man. And oh, by the way, you know, a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, probably the greatest hitter that we'll ever see.
No doubt about it. Wow. So you kept saying at Petco, but I was assuming originally you were talking about the stadium, but are you not talking about the store?
Petco store in Carmel Mountain. I used to work there when I lived in Carmel Mountain.
Oh, like kind of where there's a...
I was a cashier there too. No, I'm just kidding. No, okay. I was actually a manager over there, but... No, that was a good experience.
Well, is it a Staples or an Office Depot that's right next door to that?
Mm-hmm. And then the last 6 years in Walgreens, which I'm very happy. In fact, if elected mayor, I'm still going to work at Walgreens on the weekends.
You will?
Yes.
That's great.
I was under the impression that a mayor of even a city like Poway would make $50,000, $60,000 a year.
No.
They make $21,908.04.
Not that you looked it up or anything.
No. But I've always been curious why people who have a net worth of, let's just say $1 million to make the math easy, want to work for that much money.
Well, I think most people that run for office don't do it for the salary. I mean, they obviously have other motivations, you know? I mean, because...
Other motivations is the key word.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's got their own motivation, you know? Mm-hmm. Everyone's got it. Yeah. You have your own motivations
Yeah, I'm still going to work at Walgreens on the weekends
to
survive.
Yeah, $21,000 a year living in Poway, that doesn't only get you so far.
Yeah.
So, for sure. But I think that's an attractive part of you as a candidate because you are really a man of the people.
Yes.
Right? I think a lot of the, with the exception of our new council person, most of the members of the council are retired or close to retirement, right?
Mm-hmm.
You would be just a regular guy working a regular job, you know, putting food on the table.
Yes, and I think people want that. I think they want someone that they can relate to.
Yeah.
We all have the same problems. We all have the same concerns and worries, and are we going to pay for this at the end of the month?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I can relate.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That makes you special. I was looking at your website and, you spoke a lot about on the website about Poway Road.
That's the fire.
That's
that
the big deal.
It.
Yeah. And your goal is just to, you know, renovate them modestly. That's also your goal for the senior center is to renovate it modestly.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have all respect for former mayors.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the Mickey Cofania Center,
mm-hmm.
nice plaque, sign, mm-hmm. and save millions of dollars mm-hmm. and utilize it for important things that can save lives.
That's right. Yeah. That is definitely, you know, what you're talking about is just a reconfiguration of the priorities,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And I think to a large degree, you know, when Brian Edmonston was here, he wanted to reconfigure priorities as well. He had his own stack ranking, and so do you. And I respect that. You know, the Poway has resources. They have reserve funds, and that can be deployed in any number of ways. And it sounds like you want to deploy it to police and fire protection.
Among other things.
Maintaining
our existing parks, not necessarily building new ones.
Right.
And making sure they're clean and everything with all the various
And then transforming amenities. Stone Ridge into a public course.
That's one possibility that I'm in favor of.
Right.
We have to do something.
Right.
You can't leave it the way it is because it's not fair to the people that live there, number mm-hmm. one. And number two, it's an eyesore.
Right.
Something needs to be done, but I believe in helping the community more with a public course.
Right.
Where families can go and have fun and play golf. And I know Mr. Edmondson had spoke about tennis courts as well. Mm-hmm. That would be great too. You could add tennis courts there.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little soccer field.
Oh, yeah.
You could have a multiplex for sports and entertainment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities. There's a lot of land there. There's a lot of different things that can be done. If you mind me asking another question is, and you had touched on it briefly, was the candidate forum that was hosted by the Poway Democratic Club about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks ago. And you chose not to attend.
Correct.
So tell us more about that.
Well, it was a matter of principle.
Okay.
First, we had received a notification of the format, the questions, how it was going to be done. And for 13 days, I was in preparation, fully prepared to attend everything. And then 2 days before, the format is being changed to 1 minute instead of 2 minutes, and then yes, no answers to questions.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you, but if I ask you 10 questions and I change it around and all I want from you is a yes or a no, you can easily manipulate me to make me say yes to one thing and no to another where I contradict myself.
Yeah, you have to be careful in those spots. Yeah.
And also, there was, in my personal opinion, it was done not personally against me necessarily, but to protect their candidate, which is Ms. Johnson, who I admire as a 20-year-old woman who has the courage and the guts to run for public office, number one. But she had just done her one-minute statement, and then I believe she was ill.
Yeah, she had some medical issue to attend to.
So she left. But I honestly, in all sincerity, I believe they were protecting her from answering the tough questions because maybe she's not aware of every issue.
Interesting.
As a 20-year-old. I mean, most 20-year-olds are more interested in keeping up with the Kardashians than they are with City Hall.
Right. Well, yeah. That's true. So she is very young.
Yes. But I do respect and admire her for her courage and tenacity, and I've listened to some of her issues, and I respect them as well.
Yeah. I was actually, you know, just did a little background research on her, as I've done with all the other candidates, and it sounds like at a young age, she made a commitment to herself that she wanted to run for mayor, and so she's following through on it. Did you watch the video?
Yes, I did.
The whole thing?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you got to see what was going on.
I saw it.
Will you be at the Green Valley one?
I will be there on October 3rd.
October 3rd. That'll be a good one.
Yes, I feel that that one will be more suitable.
Well, and I think it'll be much more well attended. I've been to that event a number of times, and they fill up that auditorium at Painted Rock, and it's usually standing room only in the back. The one at the community center was very well attended as well, but I think the GVCA one will be even more. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I just I know Mr. Babich had made a statement saying, like, apparently Yuri Bolden has a problem with me. But I clarified that with him by email, and I'll clarify it on the record. I have no problem with Mr. Babich. He's a very nice man. I just didn't like the changes that were made.
Yeah.
And also, in fact, the day of, it was even more changes. So even if I had wanted to go, I wasn't going to go because when I say something, I do it.
Yeah.
Just like my 5-point pledge.
Yeah.
I don't waver. When I'm asked a question, I'm going to answer it.
Yeah.
You might not like my answer, and that's fine. That's called democracy.
Yeah.
But one thing you'll know with me is you'll know what side of the fence I'm on every issue.
So, yeah, let me just show this on the camera for everyone that can see it. So this is the 5-point pledge right here, and you've detailed it out in writing, and then it's notarized. I mean, there's the stamp right there. So this is, like, legit.
Yes.
And this is something that, you know, if you're elected, you want to hold yourself accountable to the voters. So good for you. I mean,
because I don't think, to my knowledge, I don't believe that's ever been done here in Poway.
Well, I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone always has a campaign platform.
Yeah, but those can be changed.
They can be changed,
this
but you are
in writing.
It's in writing, and it's signed, and it's notarized, and you are committing to it.
Yes.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. I respect that.
Thank you, sir.
That's a very big deal. Wow. What else do we need to talk about?
Let's see what's on my... Oh, let me show you this.
Yeah.
This is...
Because the part of the beauty of this podcast is just to let all the candidates go as long as they need to go.
These are some of the things that I hand out to my constituents.
Okay. I don't know if the camera's picking this up.
Maybe not. But
Carriage Center. Oh yeah, that's where the thrift stores are.
Yes, and you know, okay. the slogan is for real change, elect a real person. Together we can make Poway the city and the country again. Uri Boland for mayor, stop overdevelopment.
Right on. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you've made that very clear mm-hmm. here today in our podcast. Good stuff.
Yes.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Okay, so
any other questions for
me? No, I think we've covered just about everything. I think I'm really looking forward to October 3rd.
Yes.
Because it's one thing to get to know the candidates in a sit down, and it's going to be a different format. You know, you're going to get, I don't know, 30 seconds, a minute, hopefully a little longer.
Yeah.
Hopefully they don't change the rules on you again.
Well,
you
know. So even if they do, I'll be there.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think you need to be there.
Yeah, I will.
And I think, you know, Mayor Voss was unable to attend the one at the council, the other one, which I think is a missed opportunity.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah. It wouldn't, the previous debate, even if I had attended, mm-hmm. it wouldn't have mattered because Mr. Voss wasn't there.
Yeah, and I'm sure he'll be at the Green Valley event.
Yeah, I'm sure he will be as well because he's had people that spoke on behalf of that. So
yeah, and he lives in the Green Valley community, so he'll be there.
The way I see it, there is no debate until he's there.
Right. Yeah, that's when it becomes legit.
Because I'm not running against Ms. Johnson mm-hmm. personally. I'm not mm-hmm. running against Mr. Edmonston personally. Mm-hmm. We're all candidates together running against Mayor Voss.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, that's obvious.
Yes.
Right? So good. So you'll have an opportunity to be there, be in front of voters, very interested, engaged in voters, and you'll have an opportunity to contrast, you know, your positions with your competitors.
Yes.
I think that'll be a good format for you.
Yes.
You're different than the other candidates.
I'm an unconventional candidate, to put it mildly.
Yeah, you are. And I mean that in a positive way. Mm-hmm. You're different, and I think you have a very unique story to tell. And I think that there's a lot of people that are going to gravitate to what you have to say. Mm-hmm. Not every candidate is a fit for every person, but the things that you talk about are going to draw from a significant portion of the voters. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so Uri Boland, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much, sir.
We wish you well. We wish you the best of luck in the campaign. And October 3rd is coming. Is that Wednesday?
Yes, next week. Next week.
Is it Wednesday?
Yes.
Next week?
Wednesday the 3rd.
Yeah, so I'll see you there.
Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you,
sir.